Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Today I will not be hosting. We will have hosts Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler with you today. Hold one second. Let's see.
Good morning,
Cynthia.
Good morning, audience.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Right.
How's everybody?
Oh, I'm good. I know y'all have an exciting show today. I'm gonna be y'all's listener today, and I'll be in and out saying something perhaps at a point in time. You can go ahead, and one of y'all can get started. Somebody can say the prayer, and I'll jump back in when I can. Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you so much, and be safe out there. Okay. Tell the family we say hi. All right, Deborah, if you would, go ahead and say the prayer for us, please, so we can get this radio show going.
Okay. Thank you so much. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you saying thank you for waking us up, starting us on our way. We ask that you will come in the midst of this hour and do what you do best, heal, deliver, and set free. Inform the individuals, Lord, what it is that you will have them to know today, what it is that you will have us to say today, so we may be part of receiving the word. We're not exempt from the word. We're just being tools and vessels for the word to come through. Lord, we hear it first. We thank you for allowing us to align our lives to the word that's going to come today. Thank you for all that you're going to do. We praise you in advance. We love you. We adore you. Touch right now. Move right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and or brothers and daughters, if I should rephrase that, our topic today is the importance of teaching your daughter to be a woman of her word. And Deborah, the thing that sparked this conversation and this title for me is when we had our meeting. It's a group of women, the Global Movement, 200 women. And I was I guess you would say, Phil, that we often use that word when we walk away with aha moments. And I walked away with the aha moment, not so much from the night, but the next morning when I woke up. We had a discussion about presence on our Facebook page and how important it is to be present on the page, and we all made a pledge to be more engaged and to get engaged with that website in order that we are doing what it is that we say we're going to do, and that is feed the God's people with the Word of God. I woke up that next morning, and not one person from that meeting, three different people from that meeting had fulfilled their obligation just that quick. We said that we're going to get involved in giving words of encouragement, and three women from that meeting, it's the core board guys, is 12 of us. It's 11 of us right now. But three of the members of that discussion did what they said that they were going to do. I woke up and I was so encouraged by the words that I read on that page. It sparked this title for me. How important it is to be who you say you are and do what you say you're going to do. And that had to be, that had to come from a teaching or a learning from someone. And so I think it's that I thought it was so important to put it out there how important it is to teach your daughter to be women of their word. And the first thing I would say say to you guys, it starts with the mother. It starts with the importance of teaching her, because when you teach your daughter and you stand on your own word, it teaches her to be in submission or to submit to the mother's authority. That's number one. When you are a woman of your word, it teaches her that you are a woman of authority, and it teaches her to stand on your word. And Deborah, I ran across Matthew 5:37, and where it talks about all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And so, Deborah, before I give my take on it, go ahead, if you would, and expound on what that means for you and the importance of mothers teaching their daughters to stand on the word, and let their yes be yes and their no be no.
I tell you, Cynthia, I was just looking at that scripture, and that's where I started my study, because I said, okay, I know the topic, and let's start with the word, giving your word, you know. And so as you were speaking, I was going back because I was doing a lot of screenshots because it was too much to write. So I was looking, and you just called it out, like, Matthew, I see, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, so it's just so awesome how God always aligns us up in the way that he will have us to go. And so I just wanted to share that. So, yeah, so for me, I think that, you know, a mother setting the path or the journey or the demonstration for the daughter is very important, and especially in this time and day where, you know, social media is so influencing and other different mechanisms that they use to entice individuals to follow, listen, and participate to whatever the posts or whatever the things are. And so it's important that if you get the opportunity to get her ear while she's attentive, because there come a time when the influences increase. And so it starts by saying, you know, the Bible talks about you let your actions, meaning my actions, be the model, because sometimes it ain't always the words that's going to be able to do the work. Because first thing a child tell you is, you know, well, that ain't what you did. And you say, you don't do what I do, you do what I say. The Bible talks about don't just be like a man or a woman that looks in the mirror, look in the word, and see the word, and then walk away and forget what they see. He says that you should look in the word, find the word, and do what it says to do. He said, that's why I come in. I give you assistance in the Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you in the way that you should go, because he's holding us accountable for the gifts that he gave us. He said, I gave you kids a gift. He said, I probably gave you five gifts. I probably gave you boys. I probably gave you girls. Whatever I gave you, it's a gift. And so when somebody gives you a gift, they want to know that you're going to take care of it. So God said, first of all, respond with the word. You know, you get in the word, you perform according to what's in the scripture. And so the first starts with the mother can't pass what she don't have. She's supposed to be a teacher, and she's supposed to mentor, and she's supposed to give it to her. Now, what the child do with it is not on the mama. You're not going to be held accountable for your child went up. You're not going to be held accountable if she went right. You're going to be held accountable if you don't teach her the way. So it starts with us knowing the way. So how do we know the way? You know, following the word, by looking into the scripture and seeing what we say. Like, I mean, I spent the last 30 minutes just, it was so much. I'm like, oh, there's good stuff. And it was talking about the tongue and talking about don't provoke the child. And so there's guidelines as as we go along life, there's guidelines. That God says, okay, this is the rule of the game. So you don't get to provoke.
Amen.
And say, be mindful of what you say, how you say what you say, and be mindful of what you do, because those are teaching mechanisms. You know, you teach it as you go in life, as you do what you do, your actions, you're teaching. So what are you
Amen.
Doing that they see?
Amen.
You know? So, yeah. But yeah. There's a couple points, couple nuggets right there. Actions
Amen.
And words that align together, you know?
Amen. And so what I heard you say, Deborah, is be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And so what does that mean for you, audience? It does not mean for you to scrutinize everything that and not for daughters to scrutinize everything their mothers say, but make sure before we say it that it is what we believe to be true and that we're going to walk in what we have taught you. Because if we say one thing and mean another thing and do another thing, that is where we will be judged. Because one thing about young people can pick up a phony. They can pick up a fake.
Morning.
And daughters then, when we are women of our words, mother, daughters then cultivate a growing relationship with their mothers, and I believe they learn to appreciate the authority of others. I apologize, audience, for the background noise. It's coming across very loud, but we apologize for that. Dr. Fletcher is traveling, and that noise might be coming from her end, so we apologize for that. But anyway, we're going to go on. Again, daughters, once a mother is who she says she is, she means what she says she says, then a daughter cultivates a growing relationship with her mother. And I believe that they learn to appreciate the authority of the mother and other women. What do you have to say about that, Deborah?
Well, like I say, it starts with the model is the mother, the grandmother, the auntie, or whoever it is that's raising that daughter or daughters. And I believe that, you know, it starts with that. And another scripture I was just reading about when I was talking about words and action, it talks about, and I think Proverbs, I can't see the top and I cut it off too far. It talks about, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And it says, but that word is helpful for building up and according to the needs that it may benefit those who listen it. And so there's times where you might be having grown folks conversation in a place where the child is an earshot. And so that's another way that we ought to be mindful, because they can hear. They can hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hear what you're saying. And then you come and you might say something else. You might say, well, you be kind to your neighbor, or you don't be disrespectful. You don't stay in a child's place, or you don't say these profane words. And then, but they hear you through the walls saying, that B.I., you know, that, you know, and all of that. But then you go and you show them another face. But they probably hear you more on the phone saying stuff than they do hear you saying to them. So it starts to weigh heavy. And so it just goes
Amen.
Back to, we got to be mindful of what we're saying, even when we think they're not listening.
Amen. That is so true, Deborah. And would you say? And for me, I as a woman myself, and had an issue working with women for a very long time. I work with men in all of my 20s. I know I was a security officer, and I never wanted to work on the shift where there was women. I always wanted to work on the shift where there were men. And even today, when we look at political offices and stuff like that, or in the workplace, we are more apt to trust the word of a man, or have it appears that we have more respect for men than we do for women when people of authority, if you will. And so I wonder if that is part of why we have an issue in in taking authority from women, because we are on both sides, if you will. We're two-faced. We say one thing about the girl, that's my girl, and then next thing you hear, we're talking about my girl. And so if I'm your girl, you don't need to be, because if you're my friend, I don't need you saying negative things behind my back. And I wonder, when now that we're having this conversation, I wonder if that's one of the reasons that women don't respect other women. And I'm just throwing that out there, audience, because that's what sparked for me when Deborah was saying what she was saying. I wonder if that is the issue, why we don't respect women the way we need to respect women in places of authority. You can share on that, Deborah, if you would.
Well, you know, like I say, I believe that it's a heart issue, and I believe that jealousy is a sin, and it also causes us to not look at people as we would look at people as ourselves. Now, in other words, the Bible says, love one another as I have loved you, and love each other as you love yourself. And so we can't get past putting somebody on the same level with us, because we might be eyeballing something that we think we should have.
Mm.
And so that stops us, because we know that it's not of God. So it's a way to hinder us from coming to be a unit. And so it's just something that we need to work hard at. Like what I do, what helps me is, not that I've ever been jealous, but there's probably been some sexy, truth be told, here or there. Maybe even some people in ministry, I probably say, oh, I want to be like Juanita Bynum, or I want to be like Dr. Jazz, and you know, some other people, when it comes to preaching and they method and they style. But just jealous as a woman, no. I believe that... That it, like I say, it's in the heart. And so when people speak what's in the heart, it's in the heart. For the mouth is just a translator of what's inside, and it brings it outside. So it is a heart issue. You know, for me, I make it a way to tell women they're beautiful, or I like that hairstyle, that wig, that color, whatever. Oh, your lashes are pretty, or that is pretty, or I like the color. I could be in the store and I'll just see something, and I see that I like it. It's on me that I like it, and God is saying, tell her that it's nice. Give her the compliment, and so I try to move around and try to catch the eye and try to say, hey, I think that is so pretty the way you got it matched like that. Or so you don't even know how you make somebody smile. So I make it a business of mine to go out my way, because I know that we have so much art against one another when it comes to beauty and fashion and the size that you wear and you know, whatever the swag you got. And we have a tendency to be, not intentionally, but it's designed from the enemy to cause a wedge to come between us. Like with the mother and the daughter, God set the boundaries again. Do not provoke your children to evil.
Mm.
He says don't provoke them to evil, meaning good can go to evil if they're provoked. It's in them. And children, do not dishonor your parents. It says, so it's in them to dishonor. The Bible says those of your household will be your worst enemy. And I've been pondering that thing for a long, long time. Saying, okay, is that because they're so close and they touch us and they move us and they know when we wake up what we look like, they know what we act like when we're in the house, and then when we go out the house, it's another face. Why is it that those of your household will be your worst enemy? And that's what the words say. And so God is saying, hey, y'all going to be in the rubbing, and it's human and human and human. Naturally, there's going to be some art. But pray that I may deliver you from the thing that the enemy is trying to bring the wedge in. And back to the word. It takes the word, because those things too strong. Even like I say, with being able to compliment and tell somebody, people got to be able to, it takes God to give you the utterance to say, I just go to tell somebody, and not be jealous. And mean it.
Right.
It takes the world to keep your heart from you know, I'm your homegirl in my face and behind the back when I leave. I'm all the other adjectives and verbs and nouns and whatever you could say. And so I heard somebody say this though. They say a friend is a person that talks bad to your face and good behind your back.
Mm.
In other words, I'm going to tell you when you're wrong and when you're being ugly, I'm going to tell you to your face. But behind your back, I'm going to talk good of you. When I'm around other people and your name comes up, I'm going to talk good of you. So I'm going to do bad to your face because I need you to know that you're being ugly, and I need you to know that, you know, but behind your back, I'm going to talk good. And I said, wow. You know? So, you know, I just believe that, you know, once again, you know, the heart of the matter. The Bible says we speak what's in the heart. If you know somebody every time their mouth open and it's evil, it's profane and it's cussing, it's because they got something going on in the heart and God don't love them less. God is just saying, hey, give it to me. Let me release you of that unforgiveness. Let me release you of that pain. Because you don't talk ugly unless there's ugly inside. And ugly just didn't grow up overnight. Ugly had to come from somewhere. So it's probably been embedded and sitting there and growing like cancer and growing like mold and growing like whatever yeast. And now that it's full grown, it produces sin. So nothing good
Amen.
Is going to come out of it because it's already corrupted. It's already molded. It's already outdated. It's already good for trash.
Amen.
You know?
And you made a great point, Deborah. You really did make a great point. And you see, that's the great thing about this radio show is that when we have the different the perspectives, because I was seeing it as the overhearing or the person not being who they say they are, and that's why we have that dissension. In relationship with women, oftentimes until we come into where you are right now, where we're able to say to give a compliment to a woman of excellence or a woman of beauty, and until we come there, we are not able to do it because, like you said, what's in the heart will show up. And so, if we are envy of that person in authority, if we want to be like that person, because it's always something that you admire about the person, or that person reminds you of somebody else that you have an issue with, that we have these type of feelings about about women of authority. And so that's a really great point that you brought forth. And what I also heard you say, the real issue at stake is truthful communication, and number two is it teaches us not to mix words. Say what you mean what you say. I love that, Deborah, because that really, really makes sense, because when we learn to be who we say we are as mothers and as women, then we can teach somebody else, and until we get it, we can't teach anybody else until we know what the issues of the heart that we have, then we will always try to scrutinize other people, what they say, because we haven't gotten together, so we just think nobody got it together. So that makes a lot of sense, make a lot of sense to me, because I was just simply seeing it from my perspective that perhaps because we have a problem with women of authority, that we are in the workplace or in any arena where women of power is, this is why, because perhaps we've learned from our mothers, we've been listening to our mothers on the other side of the wall, that you say one thing about Miss Jones, and then as soon as you see Miss Jones, you start telling Miss Jones she all this and a bag of chips, and you love her hat and all of this stuff, and that makes so much sense to me. Thank you for sharing that point. Our next point, audience, mothers as believers, we must teach our daughters to be truthful in their communication so that they do not fall under judgment. Such teaching teaches them three things, in my opinion. It teaches them trustworthiness, it teaches them to be dependable, and it teaches them to be honest. And we're going to talk about what all of that means when it comes to teaching your daughters the importance of being a woman of her word. And Deborah, you and I, we work with the population of women that oftentimes find themselves in a pickle, if you will, and then they make all kind of promises to God as a result of being in prison and whatnot, and then they get out and they do something totally different than those promises. And we're going to talk about how how dangerous that is to make promises on the word and then you don't stick to your word. And that's in James 5:12. If you can speak to that for me, Deborah.
Yeah, so making promises is something God says he don't want us to do. He don't want us to swear on, especially not on him. I swear to God, I'm not going to never do this. Or I swear on my mama, take my life. You know, God is saying no. He made of human flesh. Whatever you need, because you in that zone, never do this until you get in the position, and then you find yourself saying, oh, my God, I've done the very thing that I said I wouldn't do. And so God is saying, let your yes be yes. Yes, your yes be yes, and your no be no. You know, and don't make promises, you know. And so I believe that in a certain some, I can't say that people don't mean it, because that would not be a true statement, because I'm not in the hearts of anyone. But I know this, as a person, as a human, that there are times that I've said, just being honest, that I've said to God that I won't do this, and I found myself probably years later doing the thing, and I simply just went to God, and I said, Lord, please forgive me. Please, that's when I learned about let your yes be yes, your no be no. That's when I learned that scripture from being a person that had made God a promise, and many years went back on the word, and God was not shocked, because he knew the end before the beginning. He wasn't shocked. I was shocked because I learned something about me. It just really showed me. So you just show, you know, because you think that you might not do something when you're not faced with it, but you really don't know what you're doing until you're faced with the opportunity, or you in the predicament, or you in that particular situation. And so God is just saying, hey, don't make no promises, because you just really don't know what you'll do. You know, you just don't know. You might think real strongly about it. You might have good will and good intentions. And so when women are confined, and or individuals are confined, and they getting up to, you know, getting close to the release date, and they saying, Lord, oh, if you just let me go here, I never commit another crime, but I never come back to prison. I never take this blessing for granted, and I never. Until they get out, and they forced with a situation where they people tell them at work release, you got 30 days to get a job. And you got 30 days to do this. And you got guidelines, and the restrictions are closing in on you. And you all you can think about is going back to prison. And you saying, oh, God. And so before you know it, you say, okay, I'm on 29th day. Before they send me back, I'm just going to escape. I'm going to act like I'm going out to look for work, and I'm just going to get missing. And I'm going to go back to business as usual, like I ain't even missing. And then they find me out when they arrest me again. They find me out. They ain't going to search too hard, because they said, you know, the truth of the matter is, whatever lifestyle they was living, now that they don't want to run, they're not going to go get a legal job, because the Social Security number is going to track them down. So what do? You resort back to your behavior. But they just said the behaviors are flush them out. They don't waste no most wanted, no 10,000, because they know that the nature of the man is to get it by all means necessary when they're in a desperate mode. So whenever people are desperate, their mindsets change. It's not the same as I prayed in prison, Lord, I won't do this, but now I'm desperate, and my prayer and my promise done went out the window. So it depends on the mindset and the willpower and the spirituality. The person be so into Christ, but there's moments that like King David, he was so into God, he was after God on heart, but there was a day that he was weak when he was on his balcony looking out the window, and he seen Bathsheba, and he forgot about how much he loved God, and his focus for the moment was on having somebody else's wife. So we can be so spiritual and so strong and so in love with God that I'm sure wasn't David's intentions to break God's heart, but God knew it before he did it. God sent Nathan the prophet and exposed him. I'm going to send him to you. He's going to repent. So God knows what we're going to do. It's just that we don't know. But we make promises. And sometimes we just make promises just like God don't know. God, if you're getting out of this, God is saying, really, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Really? Oh, I won't deny you. I straight up told 3 times before that rooster crowed. 3 times. He said, I'm telling you what you're made of. I know the end before the beginning. So God said, I'm just going to show you what you're made of because I already know. You're telling me what you're telling me, but I already know that as soon as you round the corner down the street, you're going to, again, who you fooling? I'm going to show you you.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Deborah, that is so true. And that's why that question is a dangerous question. What will, when you ask people what will they do? Because nobody knows what they will do until they're in the situation. And so when we make these kind of comments during the midst of trials, people often make these vows to God for deliverance, and which they later fail to fulfill. And guys, that if you want to look that up for yourself, Deborah and I, we ain't making up nothing. It's all in scripture. That's James 5, verse 12, is warning us against such vows and tells us to guard our tongue during these times of hardship. We must be true to our words and to our promises, not only to God, but to others. If we tell somebody we're going to do something, guys, ladies, mothers, daughters, be a woman of your word. If you tell somebody you're going to do it, I make that my business. If I tell you I'm going to do something, you can bet your A that I'm going to make it happen, because all I have is my word. And if I don't stand on my own word, how can I stand on the word of God? Because it makes me a phony. It makes me somebody that I'm not. And I never, and a couple of things that you want to get me perturbed about, call me a liar, because that's one thing I am not. I stand on my word. I do what I say I'm going to do. When I tell you I'm going to do it, and come hell or high water, I'm going to make it happen if I tell you I'm going to do it, because that's just who I am. And so where did I learn this? My grandmother was a woman that didn't mix words. Her yes was yes, and if she told you no, you better not ask her again, because she has already told you no. And she was not a woman to mix words. So I guess that's where my values come in, and when it comes to this topic, because I've always, as long as I can remember, I've been somebody of my word, and that's even before I came to accept Christ. And so I guess my grandmother raising me, I picked that up in her values, because she was not someone who mixed words. You want to share on that, Deborah, as far as your growing up and with your mother and what you learned?
Yeah, so my mom would say, if she says she's taking us to the movies or we getting movie money or we getting whatever, we got it. We never had to say, Mom, but you said you was going to do it. What you said you were gonna do. If she said she was gonna whoop you, she's gonna whoop you. You can't say you didn't tell me. She said, you got it coming. She said tell me, I'm gonna get on you for the old and the new. That was a promise.
Mm.
And when she got me, it was for the old and the new. All the stuff she brought up, it was old and new. And so when she gave a word, you know, and like I say, she was always telling us, you know, how to be what we need to be. And I left before I could really get the other instructions, really how to be an adult and all that. I kind of, you know, fast forward and went on my own really, really early. And so I missed a lot of those lessons. But for the most part that I could remember, she was a woman of integrity. And she said what she said, and she stuck to it. And she taught us how to be respectful and mindful and mind the way that we engage in people's conversations and stay in a child's place. And I was there at that point. But even now, she would say something. And I believe that, you know, our word is, like you said, it's all we got. And I'm one that also, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So I had to be mindful sometimes when people ask me, I say, wait, let me think about it, because it's a commitment, and I need to know, can I fit it in? I need to know if I'm going to be able to do it, because it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, I've told some people that asked me to join a committee, you know, a couple months ago, and I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I'm interested in the topic and the subject. I said, but I am kind of tight with time, and I don't want to overwhelm myself. you know, and so I was able to say no instead of just saying for the sake of you want to be my friend. No, they got nothing to do with us being friends. We can still be friends, you know. It's just that I don't have the time. I don't have the energy because it takes energy to be a part of anything. And so I say, yes, I'm going to be on this board. I'm going to be on the committee and assist you with planning. And so there's times I come in that I'd be like, oh, but I'm committed. You know what I mean? And I show up every Saturday because that's what I said I'll do. I said, if I'm not in school and God give me breath, I'm going to show up every Saturday because I'm committed to what God has called me to do, to do what we do.
Amen.
So,
amen. And that's that trustworthiness. That's that trustworthiness. That's that dependability. And that's that honesty about you, Deborah, that I love. If you tell us you're going to be here, you have been here from the time you started being a co-host on this show. And so I can attest to that. And that goes back to say when we learn, and you also said something that's real, real freeing and important is that when we learn to say no, it's very freeing because it frees us from guilt, number one. We don't have to say yes to everything. And that's that childlike mentality, wanting to be everybody's friend. And so you say yes to everything, knowing that you don't have the time to do it or want to be part of a clique, if you will. And so when we learn to say no, ladies, mothers, and daughters, that's very freeing in Christ because he doesn't bound us to anything. So I love that. And that's that question. When people ask you to do things, when you know that you're on a tight schedule, because busyness ain't godliness. Being part of everything is not godliness. And that goes back to those gifts that you were talking about, Deborah. He may give you one gift or two gifts. You know what you can do and what you can't do. So why would you tell somebody yes when you know that it doesn't fit into your schedule? That's that childlike mentality. And when you don't teach your daughter to say yes when she means no, then she runs into this issue, and then she becomes unreliable. She becomes undependable, and she becomes dishonest. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, then you have to back out at the end. Do that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again, mixing words. Don't mix words. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Mothers, as believers, we must teach our daughters to be trustworthy in their communication so that they do not fall under judgment. Such teaching, again, is important because it helps them to grow to be who they say they are. We are who we say we are. And by our speech, we know and we are known by our speech. Get that, ladies. Get that, daughters. We are known by our speech. If you tell somebody you're going to do something and you're always late and you never showing up, it makes you a liar. You're not who you say you are. And that's definitely not Christ-like. And so it's important that we teach our daughters not to mix their words. And so daughters then, they get this. They start to cultivate not only a relationship with their mothers, but now they're moving into godliness when they learn to be truthful in their communication. Would you say that to be true, Deborah?
Yes, yes. Keeping your word and keeping you know, level of integrity and, you know, not showing up late for something you committed to. Be on time. Not just keeping the yes, but being on time. If they say the meeting at 7:30, don't call them at 7:50. I mean, if you're running late and God forbid you had an incident, an accident or something, yeah, but be mindful that part of keeping our word is doing what the whole thing say. We're having a meeting at 7:30. Would you be able to attend? Yes, I'll be able to attend at 7:30. And you show up at 8:10, and then you just say, oh, I fell asleep. You, part of keeping the commitment is, okay, set the alarm for 7:30 so you can wake up and shake the sleep off. Set the alarm at 7 o'clock where you can wake up and shake the sleep off so you can be on time because you gave your word. It ain't just saying give your word and then show up. But there's conditions and contents of giving your word. So your word got to be, you know, it's got to be some stuff to go with it. I gave my word that I would participate, that I will be on the committee, that I will do what it is that this position consists of.
if I'm not able to do it, that I will be mindful and, as a courtesy, contact the individual and say something came up that I can't get out of and that I need to let you know that I won't be able to make it at 7:30. I might be a little late or I might not make it at all. At least you know, we know that you won't be there. You kept your
Amen.
Word until no more, and you gave us an explanation why the word was not going to be kept. So there's always a way to do it if you can't keep your word. There's always a justification or explanation. There's you know, warning. Just, I mean, out of that, like people say, you owe me an explanation. At least if you
pause, Amen.
Oh, a minute, you know?
Amen. And so amen. And one of the Amen, amen. I apologize for cutting across you. You are so right, Deborah, because the Bible asserts that not only people this, God is listening and God hears us telling people we going to be there when we know doggone well we have no intent, and a lot of times we tell people we going to do something when we have no intentions of doing it. And we do it because they are friend. We do it or say it because we want to be part of a clique. And God is not pleased with that because He can't trust us when we are not trustworthy to other people. And so we come under fire for not being who we say we are, and then we have a nerve to be perturbed with the people who have called us out on our stuff. But that's not on the people. That's on you when you not truthful to who you say you are. And people start to trust you, and you're going to tell people you're going to be there at 7:10, and then every time you come into through the door, you 15, 20 minutes late. You're not who you say you are when you do that, because you have promised a person. That's why you need to be careful telling people what you're going to do when you know that if there's a conflict in time for you. We have to be more effective in our communication. The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do for your character when you are not who you say you are and when you don't hold up to commitments. You want to comment on that, Deborah?
Yeah, I had that scripture too about the tongue and James and, you know,
James
3, like
yes.
Like you say that, you know, God knows when you're lying. And like I say, we try to save face with people, to be friends and to be accepted. And we would curve and alter and call it a little white lie. And we got all the other names for it other than just lying. You just lie because you really know in your heart that you have no intentions. Oh, just a little white lie. Oh, lie is lie. The Bible don't say nothing about white or black. It just say lie. You know, ain't no color in the lie. Black lie, long lie, short lie, little lie, part of a lie. Just exaggerated truth. You know, they don't say nothing about all those. Those are earthly tones and earthly adjectives and, you know, describing the lie. Lie. Just
well, you
lie.
Know what that's all about, Deborah. You know what that's all about. At the end of the day, everybody's just trying to feel better about who they are. And so they put those little adjectives to the word in order to make themselves feel better about what they the lie they had told. So that's
uh-huh.
what that's all about. As Ephesians 4:29 lets let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Deborah, we are not giving you guys anything that we're making up. It's all scripture that we are giving you guys to know the importance of being who you say you are and for mothers to teach their daughters to be women of their word. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 23-26, don't get involved in foolish, arrogant arguments when you know that you lied. I mean, what is the point of that? You're going to try to prove your lie. Like that was said, ain't none of that in the Bible, trying to prove your lie. If you lied, you lied. Just accept it and keep it moving. But we will get into an argument when we know we have lied, and we keep the lie going. We will keep that lie going. And then the problem with that is we forget the lie we told, and so now we got to tell another lie to cover up that lie. So it just get so convoluted and we get so lost in the lie that we have to keep the lie going in order to try to redeem ourselves, and that's dangerous. We cannot do it, ladies, because it just brings about foolish discussion and ignorance, and that's what Timothy 2 Timothy 2:23 to 26 talks about. So you guys might want to do that, and we as believers, guys, mothers and daughters, we must work on at that truthful communication, because that is paramount. It is paramount not only for our relationship with each other as women and mothers and daughters. It's important to our relationship with God. God knows who he can trust and who he can't, because we are known by the words that come out of our mouths. Any questions, any comments before I go on, Deborah?
Yeah, I have a comment. And let me just add this, because I was listening to a minister the other day. He said something about, it was about prosperity. He said that God ain't going to bless you with your own business till he see that you can honor somebody else's business. In other words, you're working for a company now, and your word is to be on time and to do the task that's been handed down to you that they pay you to do, and you have to do that. But you asking God to expand and enlarge my territory. God is saying, when you know how to keep another man's territory, and that's your boot camp, that's your place of preparation. When I see that you could deal with that, which I know what you can do, I'm showing you you. That's what God is saying. I'm showing you you. And he said, I'm not showing you you to be mean. I'm just showing you where there's areas for improvement. I'm just showing you where there's areas for enhancement. I'm just showing you where there's areas for more training. I'm just showing you how you could come up before I bring you out from up under somebody else's authority and you can have your own. So you're supposed to be in boot camp learning how to manage, how to be supervisor, how to business-minded, how to have ethics, how to have morals, how to have a people skill, how to have a sensible heart, how to have integrity. I'm teaching you all that, time management. I'm teaching you all that, because when you go in your company, you're going to have some people give you some of the same things that you're giving them people, or less than. And so you don't even know how to deal with all those things. And so he's saying that if you keep your word and everything it entails, when you commit to something, when you go to that job interview and you say to them people on that panel, and you say, or that one-on-one, and you say, you know, I'm a team player. So when it's time to be a team player, don't be dating on other people because they're a little more advanced. They've been there 5, 6, 10 years more than you. Learn how they got what they got. Be secretly in training. Excuse me. Be mimickers in your mind and take observations of all that, because there's opportunity for you to grow. But you got to know how to be able to do it. So keep your word when you say, I'm going to be a team player. Keep your word.
Amen.
When you say, I'm pro. Keep your word when you say that I'm multitask. You know what I mean? I give you a task and you say, well, I can't do but one at a time. But when we hired you, you said you were multitask. When we hired you, you said you were a team player. You got to say, keep your word. Keep your word, because somebody's watching you and somebody's taking notes of you. And according to what you're doing, it might shape that person's future in a way that might be good or bad. So be mindful that we always on stage, we always performing, and it depends on how we perform, how somebody else might evaluate us, or how somebody else might perform, because they mimic what they see. So God said, keep your word and what it entails. If you say you're going to work from 9 to 5, don't be skipping out 4:30 and coming, I forgot to do the time sheet. I forgot to, you know what I mean? Keep your word. If you say you're going to take that dog to the mall, you say you're going to buy her them new shoes, and you say you're going to pay her phone bill, keep your word. If you say you're going to do, well, I ain't got it now. You'll be asking me, and money don't grow on trees. Hey, mind what you say. Say what you mean what you say. Just don't say it, man. Keep your word. Because somebody is learning from you and how you keep your word.
Amen. And again, ladies, that's from scripture. That's 1 Timothy 4:11-12. Be an example to all believers in what you teach. In the way you live, every believer can become a teacher by setting a good example. The word said it, we didn't say it. And Israel 7:6-10 says this. This was because Israel had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord. What does that mean? According to what Deborah was saying, you have to learn to follow the laws of other people before you can create something and follow its laws. Because if you are not good under man, you're not going to be, you're going to be a horrible business person, because you can't even keep the laws of somebody else, the tasks of somebody else. So you're going to get in there and be disciplined when you can't even be disciplined under somebody else. The devil is a liar, because you go wherever you go. And so if you're not disciplined under somebody else, you're not going to be disciplined in your own establishment. And I hope you guys get that. And we didn't say it. It's right here in Scripture, Israel 7, 6 through 10, and 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 12. It's the word of the Lord. We are trying to get you guys, as believers, we must work on our truthful communication. And so, ladies, the point here is a great external truth. Life cannot be divided into compartments, in some of which God is involved. You can't be one way in the church or in work and another way in your personal life, because you go wherever you go. And if you are not disciplined in one area, you're not going to be disciplined in another area. It's just the nature of the beast. Because you are who you say you are. You are known by your word, and people know you by your word. Good or bad, that's who they know you as. Deborah, you want to make another comment? We have about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, so just to sum it up, and you know, so now that we talked about, you know, weight, how it's important to keep your word and be mindful of the commitments that you take that makes your word void if you don't keep it. We'll talk about how do you go about being disciplined to keep your word. How do you get to that phase? How do you get to practicing those things? And so it all comes, you know, simply. You just say, Lord, you know, it ain't gotta be no long prayer. Just say, Lord, help me keep my word and help me not commit to something that I know in my whole heart that I probably won't be able to participate in. And if you have friends or you have associates or people that you think is going to be disappointed in you, then that just shows you where they at. And so it might be good for you to be able to tell somebody no, because you're not capable of keeping your word. And so the God has started weeding people out of your life that don't mean no good. If they get mad about you not want to participate in whatever it is that they're offering you to participate in, then you just know now where they are. And so God has just showed you where they are. And so he would let them drop off like flies. So you just say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me to keep the word that I say. If I say I'm going to go work for this company, then I'm not going to goof off and take 4 bathroom breaks. That they're not going to have to be looking for me every time it's time for a task to be done. That I'm going to get up, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to show out. That I'm going to keep my word, and I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to be all that. And let me just switch gears real quick. So the daughters, your mom say, clean the room, keep your word and clean the room. Because you ain't got a whole lot of tasks right now if you're still under the roof. If your mom say, watch the younger siblings. You said, I'm a babysitter. Don't be next door on the kids when they're sitting in the house on fire. Keep your word and keep an eye on the kids. It's real simple. If you can't keep your word, ask God, help me be disciplined to stay in the house when I know that I'm babysitting. Help me be disciplined to clean the house and play my part in this family relationship like I said I would. Help me go to school and get the grades I need to get to excel. And help me turn the phone off at night when I know I should be resting. Help me not take every call that comes through. Because there's some calls that's going to come through your phone. You're going to want to know, what's all that about? Listen, there's some people that's going to drain you. There's some people that's going to revive you or rejuvenate you. So you got to know when to shut the call, when to hit the green button, when to hit the red button. Because you don't need people that's draining you. That's a red button. You need people that's going to rejuvenate and it's going to help you and be people that inspire you. That's the green button. So you just got to know how. I don't want to answer this call. I don't want to participate in this, because God is taking our young people somewhere. They're going to be in charge of us for long. We're going to be walking around with the canes and God forbids and slowing our steps, and they're going to be taking care of us. So we got to invest in them. We got to find our ways to invest in them. So young people, if you tell your mom you're going to do something, you tell your teacher you're going to do something, you tell your pastor, you tell your friends, keep your word. Just be mindful.
Amen.
Of what you
could do. Amen. And you know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Repeat that. I'm sorry.
Ask God to help you keep your word, because he will. He will help you keep your word. Just say, Lord, give me, and you focus on, I gave my word. Lord, help me keep my word, because I'm feeling like I want to pull out. Lord, help me. I'm feeling like I want to tell them no. I'm feeling like I want to answer the call. I don't want to show up. Lord, help me keep the word. Help me show integrity. Help me show that I'm able to be loyal to, and I'm able to be trustworthy. Help me show that I'm committed and I'm dedicated. Help me, Lord, because I'm feeling like I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to answer none of the calls. Help me, Lord, because I gave my word. Help me, God.
Amen. And it's dangerous to be a false teacher of the word. And so that doesn't mean just what you say. It means what you do or don't do. When you are telling somebody that you are this person and you're not doing it, you are literally false. You're doing a false teaching, because people, like Deborah said, is watching you. People are watching us when we say we are who we say we are in Christ, and then we don't do it. It gives a false sense of commitment. It gives a false sense of honesty, and it gives a false sense of dependability. People can't depend on you when you don't show up, when you tell them you're going to show up. And if you can look at, there are several scriptures that goes with what Deborah just said. Micah 2:11, Matthew 7:15-18, Titus 1:10-14, 1 Timothy 4:1-13, and James 3:1-2 talks about the danger of being a false teacher. And being a false teacher, it's not only what you say, it's what you do or don't do. Get that, mothers and daughters, and we're going to move into the place of being trustworthy, being dependable, and being honest, because we're going to be cognizant of the fact that we are not being who we say we are when we tell people we're going to do things and we don't do it, or when we say things out of the left side of our mouths and we on our right side, we already know we have no intentions of doing it. That's all false teaching, because you're portraying to be something that you're not, and God is not pleased. Any last Amen. Comments, Ms. Deborah? Dr. Fletcher, if you dare, click in.
I tell you, I just think that, you know, God is pleased with this subject today, and we just want to encourage the individuals just to pray to God, because we all got some stuff that we need to work on. It ain't just us talking. It's we not above the message. We all got some stuff we need to work on. We all got some yes and some no's. We need to make sure that we mean what we say, and that we're not just trying to buy favor with people and then later disappointment arrives. Just say, if you can't do it, just say, I can't do it. I can't do it. No, I have a full plate, and I'm not looking for dessert. You know, I'm really, really overworked and underpaid in the mind and underpaid in my social life, and I really need to find some balance. That I'm already too far off to the left, and I need to try to find some balance. There's nothing wrong with that. And people, well, but you know, people trying to tell you what the Lord told them. I said, well, the Lord told you, he gonna tell me. So they try to put that on you. The Lord told me he want me to be in the choir. Can't hit a note. He gonna tell me. He's going to tell me that he want me to be in the choir. He ain't told me yet.
Amen.
You know, 20 years later, he ain't told me yet about being in the choir. You know, now, youth ministry, he told me. You know, so he told me nothing about the choir. So I'm just saying, people would try to say that, but that ain't in line with God and what God told them. God going to confirm it when he tell you. He going to tell you, and they going to come and confirm it. It ain't going to never just be no one-sided thing. And somebody, the Lord told me. Okay, well, when the Lord speak with me, I'm going to get back with you. You know, and don't feel no kind of way. Yes, yes, yes. No is no. And no persuasion is necessary, because I'm not being moved.
Amen. Amen. Deborah. Amen. Now we could close out with that, because that was good stuff. Because others and done, we could close out with that. But if you want to be a better communicator, study James 3:2-12. Study Ephesians 4:29, and study 2 Timothy 2:23-26, because it teaches us the importance of being an effective communication. That means being truthful, ladies. Dr. Fletcher, if you dare, click in. Well, I guess she is traveling this weekend, ladies and mothers and daughters. So we're going to close out. If all is well and no one else has another comment to say, we're going to close out. And we thank you guys for joining us today. We say the word of God. We laugh about some stuff, but we are being serious about learning how to be effective communicators, and that means being who you say you are, doing what you say you're going to do in order that we can grow as mothers and daughters. And when you falter in your ways, we are not teaching truthfulness. And so we really, really must get in the habit of being who we say we are, because you don't know who's watching you. Like Deborah said, we have a generation that's coming up behind us, and they're watching us closely. And I love the fact that this past year, how many young people are getting involved in change. And so change is what it calls for if you're going to change your character, because you are known by your words and you are known by your character. All right, ladies, with that, we're going to say goodbye for right now, and we're going to talk to you next week, the same time, same channel.
You've
Mother
been
and Daughter Blog
to the
Talk Radio.
Mother Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr.
Amen.
Bessie
Thank
Fletcher.
You. God,
if you'd like
God.
To make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye, audience. God bless you. Bye, Cynthia. Love you. Bye, Dr. B.
Love you guys.